Welcome along to the Champions Rugby Show. And for this new podcast series, we're celebrating 25 years of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. I'm Martin Hindley with the pleasure today of speaking to one of rugby's legends as we dig deep into their Heineken Champions Cup story. We're kicking off with a man involved in a huge moment in the tournament's history.
This lot don't come cheap, but what a collection of jewels they are. A hat-trick, 2013, 2014, 2015. Toulon, once again, European champions.
My guest today won the tournament not just once, not just three times, but three times in a row. He was also named the European Player of the Year in 2014. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Stefan Armitage.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're not in a studio together in these times of physical distancing. We're both at home. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping these days?
Just trying to keep myself busy, just trying to train a lot, running, and a lot of bikes and a lot of weights, and I'm trying to keep myself busy.
Well, we'll certainly keep you a little bit busy with some happy memories and taking you back down that memory lane in the Heineken Cup. And first of all, I suppose to set the scene, can you tell us what exactly the tournament means to you as a sportsman, as a competitor, and most of all, as a rugby player?
Well, personally, for me, it meant the whole world, you know, because obviously you're playing against some of the best people in the world and rugby-wise, and being crowned like champions of Europe, having to play against teams like Munster, Saracens, Leinster, Toulouse, do you know what I mean? Coming out of this saying that you're a champion, it's one of the biggest honours you could get in rugby, and I was glad and happy enough to be involved in this competition for so many years, because it probably made me the player I am today.
I suppose when we all go through tournaments that we like to watch, we can remember where our story started. Do you remember when you were first getting interested in watching the Heineken Cup and the players who inspired, influenced you?
Yeah, how old was it? It was such a long time. It was such a long time ago, but obviously watching Wasp, following them play through the Heineken Cup and winning it a few times, that really made me push to want to be in that same situation. Yeah, I just knew I had to get there and I had to do whatever it took to get there. So I just trained hard every single day and pushed myself to become like Laurent Solaglio, you know, like Serge Bedson. Like, there's so many players I can name, but it's because of them that I wanted to become a player in the Heineken Cup.
Do you remember right now your debut in Europe and how it felt for you? I mean, did it feel like a step up? I mean, how was the training pitch and the build up to European games when it was all very new to you?
Well, I was at London Irish, and I can't remember who the first game was. I think it was actually Perpignan, I think. And just running around, you just felt the difference from being in a Premiership to going over playing in France in Perpignan. The crowd going crazy. Just, you didn't really know what they were saying, but you could just feel everything was just a step above. It felt like it was a win or lose game. If you lost, you're out. I know it wasn't the case, but that's the way it felt. It felt like it was a finals, and just the intensity, everything just stepped up, and it just made you want that every single game, every time you played rugby, and that's what it brought, the Heineken Cup.
What role did that experience play for you when you had the offer from Toulon, the chance to go and play your rugby in France? Was Europe part of your motivation, part of your thinking back then?
Well, my thinking was I wanted to be the best player possible. And I felt at London Irish, after being there for six seasons and playing nearly every single game, I felt like I needed a new challenge. And going over to France and going over to Toulon, I looked at the back row who they had, Joe Vinicoeck, Joe Lab, George Smith. There were so many top players. And I knew by going there, it's literally, you have to fight every single second to get in the team. And it was just a way of me trying to keep that hunger in rugby. And by going over there, they told me I would be fourth choice. And in my head straight away, I wanted to prove them wrong. So I thought this would be the perfect chance for me to go over to become a better player, and to prove what kind of player I am. So that was my reason for going over.
You played in your first Heineken Cup final back almost 7 years ago now in May 2013, at a time when the tournament's success was seen so much from a couple of titles from Munster and then 3 and 4 years from Leinster. It was Clermont and it was Toulon walking out at the Aviva Stadium for a final. What do you remember about the build-up to that match and how the season had gone for you in the build-up to taking on Clermont there?
To be honest, I can't remember much, to be honest. It was a blur. Just to be there, it was already a massive achievement for us because so many people wrote us off from the start and we were just focused on just one thing, is just like lifting that cup. And obviously playing against a team who we've had a lot of rivals against. So it was like, it was a blur, but I still can't believe that how the whole day went, to be honest. It's still a blur, but it's still a fun memory.
You were 15-6 down at one stage. Obviously, your brother Dallin's converted try was a big part in winning the game. 16-15. Was it even more special for having done that together?
Yeah. My whole career, I've just based my whole career thanks to Dylan. Because without him pushing me all the way, I wouldn't be where I was. And going there and winning that game, especially with Dylan and Dylan scoring the winning try, it was... I'd say it's up there. Would be in up there playing my first game for England with him at Twickenham.
In went Sivivolti, but it's stolen and away here. Toulon and Dylan Armitage. He looks round. No need to look. He's clear. Toulon score. Here's their moment when they realise the dream, and it's all come before they've recaptured domestic glory. But they won't care.
What did it mean to the fans in Toulon? It's a very, very special club. It's a very passionate club. Do you remember their reaction to the victory and the hours, the days and the weeks after being crowned the champions of Europe?
Oh, the days, the weeks, the hours, like everything was immense. Like we went back to, after the finals, we went back to, obviously we had a final, we had a finals to play the weekend after, but after that we had like a parade. And there was like over 70,000 people gathered in the streets. They closed everything down and just seeing everyone and how much it meant to everyone at Toulon was just amazing. And they never stopped backing us. They always followed us everywhere we went. And like you could see it meant the world to them. And obviously it meant the world to that everyone, to be honest.
Johnny Wilkinson said that winning the Heineken Cup was right up there with lifting the World Cup back in 2003. Obviously, he kicked 11 points in the final. How big an inspiration was he to that club and how much did he help you personally, I guess?
He was a massive, he was immense. He was a true leader and inspiration to everyone.
Wilkinson, it's there. The man that has been so mimicked, but never equaled, let alone surpassed, when the heat is really on, certainly in this part of the rugby world. And Johnny Wilkinson's conversion to Dylan Armitage and his goodbye try, well, it's hello again to a contest in the Heineken Cup final.
He kept us on our feet when we were getting a bit too big-headed, because obviously with the players and the team we had, we won a few games, and sometimes you do get a little bit carried away, but Johnny was always there to bring you back down to earth, tell you, listen, it's not over. We still got a lot to do. And it's just everything he showed, whether it was in training or on the pitch, he was just always 110% every single time. And it made people follow him. We no one really wanted to let him down. So we had to give 120%. And that's what he brought to us. He calmed the game down when it needed to be calmed down. He accelerated the game when it needed to. He was just always... Most of the time, he was always there and he was always on point. He was always there to make sure we finished the game high.
Now you had another legend joining you in 2013 in the form of Brian Habana. How, with such quality in the ranks, how easy was it to change from the challengers that you had been in 2013 to, I suppose, from the hunters to the hunted, of being the reigning champions, the holders, the European kings? How difficult was it, a change in mentality for the following season?
No, not at all. I think we knew like people were coming for us. So we knew we had to give every game. And I think every player in that team thought the same as me. It's like, you play every game like it's your last game. Because at the end of the day, look at all the players we had. We had over 30 internationals in our team. So at any point, you could be substituted out. And and not play. So you had to give everything. So it was just that, I think it was just that fear in the back of our heads, thinking it might be our last game. Whether we've played 50 caps for our country or not, it doesn't matter. Bernard Laporte was the kind of coach that he played the guys who were playing well and the guys who wanted to be there. So everyone had to pull their weight. So it was a good fear factor to have.
Rugby is a sport where it's the collective and the unity and the teamwork that takes you so far, but not one that often celebrates individual accolades. But in 2014, after beating Saracens in that final in Cardiff, you were named the European Player of the Year. And I'm going to read you some names that are also on that roll of honour. There's Ronan O'Gara, Rob Kearney, Sean O'Brien, Nick Abendanon, Johnny Wilkinson, Maro Itoje, Owen Farrell, Leonie Nakarawa, Alex Good, Stefan Armitage. What does it feel to have your name as an inextricably linked part of the history of the Heineken Cup by being named the player of that year?
Oh, it was a massive honour, and it's something I'll cherish the rest of my life, to be honest. But I've always said before, like, the only reason I got it is because I had the guys like Juan Martin Fernandez Lobby, Juan Smith, Chris Massoi, Joe Vennie Kirk, Piero Gunter, and the list goes on. I've had all these guys to push me and to help me to become that. So pretty much, like, I don't know, it's a whole team in that year, to be honest, because we all pulled together and we all made history for the club in that year. And I was just lucky enough to always be in the right place at the right time, I suppose.
Was it a different feeling for you having walked out as a member of the starting 15 in Cardiff, as opposed to having come off the bench in Dublin? Did it make it a different sensation for you as you look back on that Heineken Cup final?
No, not at all, because I knew the 23 players would win the game. It's not just 15. The guys come off the bench as well, make the massive factor. So we still got to play our part, whether you're playing or not, to push the squad to become winners. So just being in the 23 to start off with was the highest point. And it's the same, like, whether you're on the bench or starting, you're ready to go.
There it goes, from the boots of Armitage. His brother, man of the match, Johnny Wilkinson, undoubtedly the man of the decade.
How aware were you that what you were building with Toulon at the time was something that would be very, very difficult to see surpassed in the future, not just in Europe, but also domestically, and also in Europe, having won it, gone on to win it three successive seasons?
Well, we knew, like, looking at all the players and the way we bonded straight away as a team, I knew there was something on the cards to say this team is going to be a team that's going to make history. And after winning the first Heineken Cup, we felt good. We felt solid as a team. And as soon as the year started, we were like, this is our cup. We don't want to lose it. So we're definitely going to make something. We're definitely going to make history, because as most people were saying, like, Toulon only hired players who were coming near the end of their career. So we wanted to prove everyone as well that we were still good. We were still good. We were still in shape, and we still had a lot more to give. So we want to make history by showing them that we're gonna make something happen that no one's ever achieved.
There were certain matches in each of the successes where Toulon announced themselves as more than the real deal. I'm thinking of the Leinster quarterfinal in 2014, the Munster semi-final in Marseille, but then the match that concluded in extra time against Leinster at the Velodrome in 2015, that was a pretty special occasion. I just wondered if there's any of those days outside of the final where it hit you as a player as just how special the Heineken Cup was.
Oh, definitely. I think that the extra time against Leinster in the Velodrome, and also Munster as well, when we played them at Velodrome, those are two massive games that you just felt it went down to the wire, but you felt it was one of those games. It just felt like it was the finals, with this packed stadium, everyone cheering, and it's any mistake could cost you the game. And that was the best part about it, to be honest. But those two games were definitely one that I'll never forget, because I think that made us get a little bit more confidence, because knowing we can scrape those tough dog battles, and yeah, it made us who we were.
another final, a repeat of 2013 against ASM Clermont-Auvergne, this time in Twickenham in 2015. How special was it personally for you to play that game at Twickenham Stadium and celebrate so many moments like that stunning try from Drew Mitchell?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's where I've made my first cap for England. Had quite a lot of good memories there with London Irish as well. And yeah, going out there to play against let's call them our main rivals in the top 14 as well, to play them in that finals and come away with the win. It's I think it was the biggest, like one of the biggest wins, for me in my career. And it was just so, the feeling was just amazing. Because I had all my, for the first time, I've had all my family there as well. So it was special, let's put it that way. And that try from Drew Mitchell, what can you say?
Well, Mitchell bursts through and he's on his own, but he showed quick feet and he's still going, Drew Mitchell. That is a try of real quality. It's cancelled out the one scored by Abandonen. And Mitchell might just have taken this final beyond the grasp of Clermont.
I'm going to ask one of those really annoying questions now that I'm sure you get quite often asked, and is the three Toulon teams, 2013, 2014 or 2015, if you had to pick one, which was the best and why?
Wow.
Annoying, I know.
That's a great... I want to say 2015, but Johnny wasn't there, and Johnny actually made the team that we made history with, because it was kind of like a different game. But... I'd probably say 2014.
It's certainly a classic side, and it's very, very difficult to, in fairness, it's totally unfair to ask you to try and pick one. But given the uniqueness of the feat, do you think it will really only hit you after you finish playing just what you've managed to achieve as that group of players, or do you think it's already sunk in?
To be honest, I don't think it'll ever sunk in, to be honest, because some of those guys I played with in that team, it's guys I used to watch on TV. And I used to think, oh, I'd love to play with those guys one day. I never thought I would. And actually to go there and win something with them is just amazing. Like my medals and my jerseys and stuff, I've locked them away in a suitcase, and they're hidden up in the attic, just hoping like one day I might go back up there when I'm a lot older and then realize, oh wow, what is this? I actually did do something in my life before. You know, just a surprise, like maybe the kids go up there and find them, just get surprised, and I don't know, it's just I don't think it ever will hit in, to be honest.
And the Sports Fantasy League team have done it again. They've got the hat trick. They are European champions for a third time in a row.
Certainly some very special achievements, and done over such a sustained period of time as well. We're taking all of these trips down memory lane now with a 25th final to look forward to in Marseille, where, as you've mentioned, you've played some key moments of the tournament's history in the Velodrome. I mean, what is your view on the tournament and how European club rugby has gone over recent seasons?
I just think over recent season it's just got better and better. You could even tell by the French club. Like before, there was like a saying the French club will send their weaker side abroad, but now they see it as a massive thing. Do you know what I mean? It's a massive event, so you send your best side everywhere you go. So it's just getting better and better each year, and the talent that's coming on show as well is just amazing. It's given everyone a different taste of rugby from what they used to, for example, from the Premiership to the top 14 to the Pro 14. So we're mixing all the games together, all the intensity, the speed, everything. It's good that we get a chance to compete against the best in Europe.
And the fact that obviously these days we're going to very different venues, the sort of the Bilbao's of the world, now to Marseille, where European finals haven't been before. It's another dimension, isn't it? A celebration of rugby across the weekend for all rugby fans to enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a massive thing, because also it's for the players as well. Getting a chance to play somewhere that you wouldn't normally play, it's something to look forward to. And I think it's given like the local people, wherever the finals or semi-finals are being held, I think it gives them a chance as well to see something different as well. So we're promoting the sport as well wherever we go, and I think it's just a massive and a great idea. It's a massive deal and a great idea, and we should keep doing it. Maybe try Brazil next time.
We're looking forward to having you with us. One thing that I'm really fascinated in is what does the future hold for you now? What are your short and mid-term aspirations inside and outside of the game?
Well, short term at the moment, it's just trying to stay sane and keep training and get back on the pitch whenever things calm down and things is all safe outside. Long term, it's I want to be personal advisor for young rugby kids, because I think in a moment, especially in France, it's a place where the youngsters are, they have their agents, but I think they just need pushing in the right direction, what to do and how to be able to become the best they are. So I want to be a mentor.
Well, you're certainly coming from an inspirational place in terms of doing that, especially with your history, not just, but particularly for us in the Heineken Cup and what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Stefan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us, and the very best of luck on the next steps to your career.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely brilliant to go back down memory lane with Stefan Armitage, the European Player of the Year in 2014, and no fewer than three consecutive European Cups, and what it meant to him to play with such a special group of players, as well as his view on the tournament these days. We'll have plenty such recollections to look forward to as we take a look at a quarter of a century of history in the tournament that is undeniably the greatest club rugby tournament in the world.